Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Hello.
Yeah, here, Mazur.
Maestro.
Hello.
Bonjour. My name is Jill Pasternak, and we're looking forward to your performance at the Kimmel Center.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
This wonderful tour that you're doing, I hope this doesn't herald the coming retirement of you from the music scene.
No, it's no retirement. Who told you that?
Nobody told
you. I have a lifelong contract with the Orchestra Nacional as a music director. How is it called? Honorary music director. So it means I continue with the orchestra. It's a wonderful orchestra. I'm more busy than before because I have to tour around now. I have only my orchestra in Paris at the moment, but I'm steady guest in Israel Philharmonic. I'm steady guest in all the leading orchestras of the United States. I have a guest appearance in France, of course, in Italy, in Germany, with all the leading orchestras, in Russia. So it is, it's no end. It's still going on.
I kind of said that to get a rise out of you, because the word retirement is really anathema. You know, when one retires in many cases, I think one is busier now than when one is working. And you have had so many honors and so many these honorable, conductor awards, from so many of the great orchestras that you've conducted, that I am sure that you will be very, very busy.
I'm switched over also to give much more master classes for young conductors.
Yes.
And, of course, if you have a lot of experience, you can help young conductors to understand things much better than they would do without help. And for me, it's the most important point that if I retire, I think I would die. So better I don't retire and die in between.
No, I knew I'd get a response. That's why I said that, because people who are as active and as productive as you don't like that word, and I agree with it completely. Now, also, didn't they create a special award at the New York Philharmonic for conductors in your name, for young conductors?
Now, I was very happy it happened like that, and they collected money for that. So every first conducting of a young conductor at New York Philharmonic is paid by this
the fund.
Foundation.
Yes, the foundation. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think are the most important things a conductor can do to communicate with his orchestra? And I'm talking about when orchestras, world-class musicians that you're dealing with, what is important? What do you feel is the role of the conductor, and how does one get that across to these very fine musicians?
I think it has changed a lot. Because if you think 50 years ago, conductor was a kind of duke or king or always untouchable.
Yes.
But then the orchestras got crazy about that, and they were enemies very often. And you think from the time of Toscanini until now, the role of the conductor has changed a lot. In the time of Toscanini, he was not only demanding, he was really very often very angry with orchestra. He didn't play very well. I'm demanding also, but I'm not angry. But you have, of course, to prove that the orchestra plays with you conducting better than they would do without you.
I see.
And this is the most important point. But the orchestra still should feel that you love them, you respect them, and that everybody has a feeling he is somebody who counts. Mm-hmm. The orchestra. It's not only a company of soldiers.
Right. Well, of course, this is, I had thought this as well. I think that, that musicians reach a point too in expertise where they are, and as many of them are in the great orchestras, demanding respect as well. But then there's that whole other thing where you communicate on an emotional level when you want to get a certain result and to also allow the artist freedom to express himself within this framework. What do you think is, I guess, the future of the recording industry? With l'Orchestre Paris or l'Orchestre France, you have the Radio France that I think does your recordings. How do you feel about what's going on with the recording industry?
The industry, I think, has no choice. They have to go with the current situation. And it's not better for them, because before they had a monopoly. And it was a monopoly to pick out some artists who they made the great artists, and all the other one were an army of other artists. And this was a very bad habit. I think we are now in a very good change. Every young artist who has a website can make his own advertisement. And so there are a lot of managements who just orient themselves with a website of a young artist, and they find out if he is promising enough, they try him also. So it is not only the record companies who can select some people out because they are selling better than other ones. It is more healthy now.
Well, of course, I think we have a whole, the communication system is totally different, and then, of course, the possibility of having your recordings played on the internet is another thing. So I guess that's impacted very, very much in the recording industry. Do you find a difference between the American orchestras and the European orchestras anymore? I had seen years ago there was a marked difference in attitude, I think, but we already explained that. But in terms of response, is it different? Are the European musicians
respond? Every orchestra is different.
Yes.
It is not only the nation. It is sometimes it's the nation, but not anymore like that. Because French people are French people. That's okay. But if you see my orchestra, they are so ambitious. So we are so good friends together working, and working very hard. So you never could find out after the behavior of them that they are really old type of French orchestras. And it's a great orchestra. It's a great orchestra of high artistic level and also of a kind of intelligence and poetry, which is very rare in the world now. And we have master orchestras, which are very famous over centuries. And they are, of course, there are wonderful orchestras. But sometimes there are also orchestras with a kind of arrogance. Mm-hmm. And then I don't like them very much because they never feel responsible for the composer, but they only feel the responsibility to show the audience how good they are.
Even with a conductor conducting them?
No. The conductor can change a lot. But there are star orchestras, I would say. If they feel it's different and they have played it for decades that
yes,
way.
The same way.
They don't like to follow you. They want always to bring through what they did all the time and what they created as right. This is it's one time a guarantee of a high level of playing, but it's never a guarantee for a conductor that they follow you into every corner. So with my orchestra here in Paris, I must tell you, if I would play the piano, they play exactly how I want it.
So they follow you. But I mean, that's what I was going to ask you, because you have conducted so many, many very fine orchestras. And when you get up on the podium there, You are the one that is leading the band, as it were. So even though they, what do you do? I mean, do you present yourself a certain way to the orchestra initially?
No, I don't present myself. I'm a fellow.
Uh-huh.
And they feel I love them.
Uh-huh.
And this is all we are working together. We are making music together. They feel that way, that I just care that we together have the great success.
As a great
but
ensemble.
I'm by myself and no selfishness.
So when you teach young conductors, I mean, this is a very big problem with young conductors because they have that sense of power when they get up there. How do you prepare them? What do you say to them? Do you say, you are part of this whole ensemble? Or,
of course.
And yet you must
of
lead.
Course.
Yet you must lead.
Yeah, look. I remember there was came one 15 years old boy, and he wanted to get taught to get some lessons from me. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, why do you want to be a conductor? And then he told me, then I can make the decisions how to play.
Yeah.
I say, oh my God, then you better go to the army and be an officer. So this. I didn't take him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the other, but I think I only have sometimes this kind of young conductor who feels he's more than everybody around. And then they are very often surprised. I tell them, why do you love yourself better than the composer?
Uh-huh.
You're not somebody else. You are the same. And everybody behind you has the same level. The musicians are very highly educated in our time. So you have no reason. And you even have no reason if you are really talented.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you deserve no praise because you are talented. This talent came from God.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do out of it, what you make as to be used and to be remarkable, then you deserve to be praised. Not before.
So this is the thing you have to communicate when you teach,
of course.
Now, you have been also characterized as a humanist. You were very important in at least demonstrating for unification of Germany many, many years ago after World War II.
My other life.
Yeah, other life. That was a very important time. How did you have been recognized for this as well, so you must have done quite a bit in terms of expressing your feelings about the unity of a nation.
Yeah, but look, I didn't make a difference. It didn't make me different because the people were astonished that I used my influence I had as a conductor in that city. But I had to use it because everybody should go the same way. I think it's not outstanding. It was for me quite normal to do that. And so I was astonished that the story came out of that. I'm living like that. It was for me natural to do that.
Well, again, you have you care about things. I mean, you are a unifier even as a conductor. And music, of course, is a wonderful, wonderful way of bringing people together. It is a universal language. So you have the right role for your life.
I must tell you that I was very deeply touched because Anand spoke at my birthday party, and he said, I have been more successful in bringing people together than he could do it in the United Nations. This was very interesting. I didn't tell him. I replied. I told him, I would love you have the eternal life to continue what you did all the time. but what he meant really was a kind of power of music can bring people together which are not discussing politics. They are just feeling that they have the same kind of emotions than other people too.
Of course, this is the language. I mean, the notes are the language, the melodies and the harmonies and the words of composers from many, many years ago. This is the way we speak to each other. And of course, again, as a musician, it is a joy, I think, to be able to do that. I know that musicians come to the United States who don't even speak English and they can get a job and sit down in an orchestra and play because this is the language. I mean, this is the way we communicate. And you have done that as a conductor and as a human being. And of course, you're, as I say, the honors that you have listed for your, what you have received, it's endless. It's really amazing. And I'm sure that you must be so gratified. But you have been all over the world. I mean, you were in the United States here with the New York Philharmonic for, what, 11 years? Is that right?
Yeah. Of course. I gave a lot of concerts in New York, in the United States, with all leading orchestras also. Mm-hmm. And I loved it very, very much. I know for me, it's a gift to have this profession. And it's from my life, it's so moving that I can do this life and still can continue at the moment. So I'm very happy about that because I have people surrounding me who help me a lot, especially my wife. And so everybody is a little bit in the whirlpool together with me.
And it's quite a whirlpool. You're all over the place. Now you will be in Philadelphia and you're doing a very desirable program here. One of the great, the Dvorak, of course, the New World Symphony, and you're doing this piano concerto with this David Fry. Is that the way you pronounce his name? And now, is this the end of the tour? You will be going to New York, I think, after this. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's it?
Yeah.
And then you go back to Paris?
Yeah. We have a great program in Paris also, and then it goes on ever and ever now.
Ever and ever. Maestro, it's a joy to have you here and to welcome you here to Philadelphia and also to... just to wish you the very, very best to continue the work you're doing, and thank you for giving us your time.
And thank you for giving your interest.
Thank you
very much.
Pleasure.